Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. You'll go on and turn there this morning. That is the passage from which we will be looking into this morning as we continue to worship the Lord. The great I Am, as we just sang, is this Lord that we have come to worship this morning. And as a brother reminded me of this weekend, the central act of worship when the church gathers is when God's Word is proclaimed. That is the central act of worship of His church. Nothing else. And so we must ask ourselves as we come before His Word, how will we respond? Will we worship? First, does it even interest us? It's a red flag if it doesn't. Believe me. The Spirit is there. It wants to hear from the Word of God. And then, if it does interest us, what will we do with it? Will we just put it away in our mind with knowledge? Or will we respond to this God who speaks as the great I Am? What does God say to us this morning as we worship Him? Verse 10. Therefore now, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, or that is Yahweh, the God of your fathers and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been gathered here by you to give to you, the only one who is worthy of all worship and honor and praise. Father, may we give this to you. May we see you rightly. May we hear you rightly. May we respond to you rightly by following you and worshiping you, by giving all that we have to you. This is the call of the great I Am, that we would be yours. And you would do with us as you will. God, continue to reveal this to us. Continue to call us to be your people. Continue to work in this. It's all of you, but you still use us at the same time. You still call us to act and to move by faith. So, Lord, give us faith. Give us obedience. Father, give us hearts that desire you. And may you have your way in our lives so that you are glorified. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, last week we began by looking at this incredible story, didn't we, of Moses and this burning bush. This in the Scriptures is what we call a theophany. This is a physical manifestation of God. In a way, God was literally there with Moses, and Moses was literally there in the presence of God as he spoke to Moses from the bush. And we saw as God revealed himself in this very special way, right, that he revealed much about himself, much about his character that Moses and we indirectly get to know through the Scriptures. We saw God reveal that He is holy and what that means. We saw God reveal that He cares for His people. He is concerned about our plight, even though it may not seem like it. And then third, we saw that God saves His people. So God revealed much about Himself. Now as we turn to our passage this morning, we actually find that we're still in the same story. We actually find that we're still early on in this same story. God's still in the form of the burning bush. Moses is still before Him. Now, as we look at our passage today, it seems like Moses may be getting a little more comfortable being in the presence of God just a little bit, because he begins to speak. He begins to ask God questions. That's what I want us to look at today, is what does Moses ask God, and God, what does God reveal about Himself in the answers to Moses? Because again, anytime God reveals Himself, much less when He speaks, He reveals much about Himself. That's what I want us to look at. And indirectly, He reveals much about us. Anytime God revealed, we're revealed as well. So we're going to look at both of those. We look at two simple yet profound questions that Moses asked God. And then what are those answers? So what's the first question Moses asked? Moses simply asked God, "Who am I? Who am I?" Look at verses 10 to 12 again. "Therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "Certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." Now again, we have to remember back to last week's passage. It's one continuous event going on here. What did God last reveal at the end of the passage? Well, again, we saw God reveal His heart a bit for His people. God again revealed that He cares for His people. He watches, He sees, He hears, He knows their plight. And then two, God revealed that He was going to deliver His people because of their plight. Right? Verse 8. He said, "So I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and bring them up to the land, the promised land." So God reveals to Moses, He is going to come down and save His people. Now at this point, one might expect, maybe even Moses expected, God to start laying out His plan and what He was going to do to save His people. Right? "Okay, God, you're going to come down and save your people. How are you going to do this? I'm fascinated by this." Notice that's not what God did. God revealed to Moses that He was going to send him to be the deliverer of His people. Yeah, God was going to do this work of salvation, but Moses, you're going to be my instrument. I'm going to send you. Now here we come across what I call one of the paradoxes with God that we have with understanding God. And it's this, you know, God is a sovereign God. God is also a God who saves. And so because God's sovereign and He saves, salvation's a work of God from beginning to end. Yet, God chooses to use sinful creatures in this process of salvation, just like He did with Moses, right? Again, God's going to come down and save His people, but yet He has chosen to use Moses as the instrument for which He will deliver him. So God commissions Moses in this moment to be that instrument. "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh for me." So again, God commissions sinful man to be a part of His salvation process. And we see that with Moses. Now, this ought to remind us of a very similar commissioning that we all have. Now, we're not called to go to Pharaoh, right? And go to Egypt and declare before Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Praise God, Moses had that privilege, right? But He has called us all to a similar work. He's called us all to be a part, to be an instrument of His in this work of His of salvation, right? It's called the Great Commission. Jesus called the disciples, and therefore us, all of His disciples from here on out throughout history, "Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you? So just like with Moses, God's commissioned us to be a part. Is God sovereign in salvation today? Yes, He is. It's a work of His from beginning to end. Yet, for some reason, God has chosen to use us, His sinful creatures, as a part of that. What a privilege. And this only serves to bring more glory to God, doesn't it? How can God use such sinful creatures to bring other people to salvation? Only God can do this. And this brings glory to Him that He can do this. He did it with Moses. And brothers and sisters, He does it with us. He calls us to be instruments of His in the process of the salvation of His people. Now, back to the passage. How did Moses react to this call? Yes, Lord. No. In fact, Moses asked the first of the two questions that I want to look at. His question is, well, who am I, Lord? Now, this is not an existential question. Moses is not trying to find out his identity before the Lord, right? Who am I? What's my purpose? It wasn't that. Now, this was more of a question of practicality. That is, who am I? And I don't have the ability for this, right? That's why he said, who am I that you should send me to Pharaoh? In other words, I'm nobody. I don't have what's needed to do this great task. I don't have the ability to do this, Lord. Who am I? Now, some people, when they see this response by Moses, they see a great deal of humility. Moses is just simply recognizing that he doesn't have what it takes to go and be the deliverer of God's people. And you know, there's probably some humility here. I say that because in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says Moses was a very humble man. In fact, now hear this statement. He was more humble than any man on the face of the earth at that time. Wow. Wouldn't you like it to be said of you that you were more humble than any man on the face of the earth at this time? So there's probably some humility. Yet, I believe there's some others that see something else, and I have to agree with them here. This is probably also just some unwillingness to do what God's called them to do. And it's probably based out of fear. I can only imagine that Moses immediately began to feel the crushing weight of the task God was calling him to. Imagine the enormity of the task that he saw. I want you to go deliver my people from the slavery that they're in from Pharaoh. We should be able to understand this, shouldn't we? Put yourself in Moses' place. Would you want to go to Pharaoh? I mean, let's be honest. The fear would set in almost immediately on us, wouldn't it? And the doubt and fear and then an unwillingness that comes with that. Let's be honest. These waves of fear and doubt probably set in us when we hear our great commission that I just talked about. Right? Our great commission is to go and make disciples. A big part of that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of us ask the same question Moses asked when we hear that? Well, who am I to go tell them they need Jesus? How would they react? What would they say? What if they ask a question I can't answer? Well, what if I say or do something wrong? See, my point is that we are no different than Moses here. We hear the Great Commission, the call to go, and we'll ask the same question, who am I, out of fear and out of doubt? Yes, there's some unwillingness here by Moses before the Lord. But we have that same default in us. I'm not saying it's right. We'll get to what's the right response should be. But this is what we do anytime we make excuses for why we can't go. It may not always be who am I, but it's always some kind of question. Right? That's why we should be encouraged with the answer Moses got from the Lord. In other words, how he got his answer. It was very gracious. It was very gentle. Because when the Lord asks you to do something and you express unwillingness, you know, the just response would be, right? The Lord's not burning with anger here. Not yet. God is gracious. And notice what he tells Moses as to why he is equipped to go and do this. God doesn't tell Moses hey, Moses, you know what? You were brought up in the courts of Pharaoh and educated with the best education. Who else on the face of the earth is better equipped to go and face Pharaoh than you? Doesn't tell him that. He doesn't say, well, Moses, you know, look at all these lessons you learned for the past 40 years out here as a shepherd. My goodness, who's better equipped than you to lead my people out here in the wilderness, right? Like sheep, there's no difference. He doesn't tell Moses any of that, right? What does he tell? What's the reason Moses is equipped to do what God's called him to do? He said, certainly, I will be with you. So what God reveals is that Moses' ability to do what God called him to do has nothing to do with him, but has everything to do with God. God's promise of His presence was the only assurance Moses needed to be able to go forth with confidence and do what God had called him to do, right? Anytime God commissions us or calls us to do anything, it's not our ability that matters. It's God's ability and His promise to be with us. Back to the commissioning. You know this is coming, right? God's commissioned us to go and be a part of this work of salvation that He alone does, but yet He's called us to be a part, right? Again, in the making of disciples. Why are we even qualified to do such a thing? Jesus tells us, right? Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as I have commanded you, and what? And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, do you hear that? The promise of the presence of Christ. Why are you qualified to go and share the gospel and to make disciples? Is it because you have had years of theological training? Is it because you have studied under the best theological teachers? Is it because you know the Bible inside and out? Is it because of your past history, right, with things that God's taken you through and then you can relate best to people? Is it because you have the best approach? It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the Lord. And He said, He will be with you. So the next time you hear the Great Commission call and you begin to fear, how am I going to do that? You remember, the only way you'll be able to do it is if Jesus is with you. And He said, I most certainly will be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us go in obedience, not unwillingness, and in faith, trusting that God's with us. And if God's with us, that's all that matters. He will bring about what He will bring about. We're just the instrument called to do what God's called us to do. Same thing as Moses, right? I mean, I tremble to think of what God, being in Moses' shoes, I really do. But it's not a lot different, right? We're not called to go to Pharaoh, but we're called to go out to the lost who might react. And so it doesn't matter. Whatever God's called you to do, God's promised to be with you. Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with you. That's all that matters. So remember this, brothers and sisters. God is with you, whatever He calls you to do. Now, one more thing before we leave this last question. I can't just leave it alone. I got to address it. There's over half a verse here. The last part of the verse. Because Moses has doubt and fear, again, God's gracious, gentle, He gives Moses a sign, right? This sign is, it says, Moses is, when all is said and done, so just so you'll know that it really is me and I'll be with you, is that you'll be back here at the same mountain worshiping me. You and all the Israelites, you'll be here. Now, there's a question that comes with this sign. It should be, right? How does this help Moses now? Right? The sign's not going to take place until everything's said and done. The sign that he can have assurance for the mission is the success of the mission. How does this help Moses? Well, the answer is he has to take it by faith. God has promised to bring a successful mission to Moses. So really, the whole responsibility of this sign coming true is on this God who's made this promise. So Moses just simply has to trust that God will do what He said He's going to do. It works the same way with us. How many of God's promises will we see until after the fact? God's given us many promises we're never going to lay eyes on until all is said and done. What do we got to do? We got to take that by faith and go forward. It's exactly what he's asked Moses to do. I will be with you. And here's your sign. You'll be back here worshiping me. All will be said and done. The mission will be a success. There's your sign. Take it by faith. Same thing with us, brothers and sisters. Take what the Lord has told us by faith. Trust it and go, resting in the assurance that he's with us. That's all that really matters. If God's with us and we know who he is, that's all that matters. All right, so we see that Moses asked God a question. Who am I? God said, doesn't matter who you are, Moses. It matters who I am. That's the answer. That's the same answer to us. Doesn't matter who you are, Tracy. Matters who I am. So then the next natural question is, okay, well, who are you? That's what Moses basically asked, right? Look at verses 13 to 15. Moses said to God, behold, I'm gone to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel. Now this is more likely his official name right here. The Lord, all capital letters, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name. Now it seems like here that Moses, again, as he's continuing to hear the call of God on his life, he's still anticipating the reaction of those he'll go to. This time, he's anticipating the reaction of the Israelites. What will they say? He's probably remembering what happened the last time he felt his call to lead his people. Do you remember that? He goes to them, he tries to break up a fight between two Hebrews, and they say, who made you a judge over us? So Moses is anticipating a little bit of skepticism. I gotta agree with him. Put yourself in his place again. Don't put yourself in his shoes. He doesn't have any shoes on. But put yourself in his place, right? Imagine you coming to some people and saying, hey, I was out in the desert minding my own business. All of a sudden there was this burning bush. But only it just kept burning and burning and never burned up. Well, anyway, there was this voice that came from this bush, and it said, for me to come back here and get you and lead you out of slavery. So what do you say? How would you react to that? Right? So Moses, knowing this, knowing the skepticism, asked God. He said, God, I need some more. I need something else. I need a little more authority. So what's your name? Well, they're going to ask, well, who said this? Right? Because in a name, especially with God's name, it reveals so much more than just a name. It reveals who you are and your being and here with God is power and authority. So God's asking for more information, more about God to be able to take back and give to the Israelites. And you notice that God answers the question, right? Which tells us that, yeah, Moses, you are going to need this, so I'm going to give it to you. But he didn't give it to just Moses. He gives it to all of us. And in fact, he tells them to tell the Israelites, hey, tell them this is my name forever. This is my memorial name. This is it. I am revealing to you my name. And that name is what? I am who I am. Verse 14. I am who I am. And then he goes on to say, tell them that I am sent you. And then again, in verse 15, right? Again, denoted by all capital letters. Anytime you see all capital letters in the Old Testament, what's behind that word in the Hebrew text is Yahweh. This is most likely the covenant name of God that he reveals here, which is a derivative of I am. So God gives his covenant name, the name we must all remember God forever, here to Moses. So what does that tell us about the Lord? That's what I want to look at, three things this tells us about God very quickly. And the first thing, you're probably not going to be happy with me, but the very first thing that tells us about God is that he's a mysterious God. Right there, you hear this name and you have to go, oh man, there's just some things that I can't ever fully, completely know about God, right? Because how many have you ever heard the name of God here? The first time you heard it, did you not go, what does that mean? Right? I am? So there's some mystery to God. And part of what adds to this mystery is even in the name itself, in that we don't even know how to pronounce it. I told you Yahweh, but that's our best educated guess. Part of the reason is that the Israelites centuries ago, out of fear and reverence for this holy God, and out of fear they would ever take his name in vain, let us have a little bit of that fear, that they decided they would never ever pronounce this name. So for centuries, the name of God was never pronounced, and it was only designated with capital L-O-R-D, Lord. They would only say Lord. They wouldn't say his name. And then, again, adding to this mystery, in Hebrew, well, you've got the spelling of it. Can't you pronounce it? In Hebrew, did you know there are no vowels? They're spoken, but they're never written. So behind the word, the capital L-O-R-D, there are only the letters Y-H-W-H. Ugh. So, again, our best guess is Yahweh. Adding to this mystery is that it's a verb. God's name is a verb. It comes from Hayah, to be. So, what's that mean? Well, but we believe Yahweh, which is a derivative of I am, or I am who I am. The best meaning is probably something like he who is, or I am the one who is. So you see, there's just some mystery to God. There was a Dutch theologian, Harvey Bavinck, who said this. I think he says it well. God is that which he calls himself, and he calls himself that which he is. Who is God? God is who he is, and that's all there is to it. That's what God's saying to Moses and to us. I am who I am. Trust it. We'll never completely, fully understand all who God is. We're infinite. We're finite, sorry. He's infinite. So we'll never get to the end of it. It's just always part of, when I say mystery, it's part that's hidden from us. Right? That's what that means. All right, so God's mysterious, I am. What else do we learn? We do learn some very valuable things about God. His name tells us that he is immutable or unchangeable. How do we know that? Well, his name's given. Remember, I said it was a verb. It's given in the present tense. God does not say, I was who I was. God does not say, I will be who I'll be. He says, I am who I am. That tells us, right? That in the past, God was exactly as he is now. And in the future, he is now exactly what he'll be in the future. There is no changing. There is no shadow of turning in thee as we sing. God does not change because he is who he is and he'll always be who he is. I am the one who is, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he reveals that to us, that there's, wow, God never changes. The third thing, brothers and sisters, we're going to get to this, the end. This name also tells us that God is self-existent or self-sufficient. What's that mean? Well, that means God has revealed here that he is dependent on no thing or no one for his being. There is no cause of being with the Lord. He is. Give you a better understanding of this. There is no other creature, no man, no angel who can say, I am who I am. We all have to say, by the grace of God, I am who I am. By my sins, I am who I am. By my circumstances, I am who I am. You see what I'm saying? There is always a cause to any other creature. There is no cause to God. He is his own cause. He simply is. And he always will be. Now think about this, about the enormity of God. He always is. There's no cause. There's no dependability on anything, anyone. And he never changes. You realize then now that God can pour out, and he does, his love, his mercy, and grace. And he can pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. And he's never, ever any the poorer for it. His storehouses of love and grace and mercy are just as full as they were when he began. Wow. God can work and work and work and work. He's never tired. Well, what about he had to rest on the seventh day? It just means he stopped working. He was not tired. He never lost energy. God pours out his powers in mighty ways. We'll see that in great signs and wonders. Do you know when he pours out his power, that his power is not diminished one tiny bit? Wow. God is who He is and He'll always be who He is. God is the great I Am. You know, we've learned a lot about God and His revelation of who He is as we go through this, and we'll continue to. Well, I don't know that there's much else greater revelation than when God gives us His name. He is I Am. And this same God that revealed His name to Moses, right? It's the same God we serve today. If He's never changed, is this not the same God we serve if we know Him? There is one slight difference. God has given us another name by which to know Him. Maybe even more intimately. Right? The name by which we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. Jesus, I Am. One and the same. Jesus Himself told us this. John 8:58, right? Pharisees were questioning Him. They were testing Him. They were trying to take Him down. And He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, those Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders knew exactly what He meant when He said that. They knew He just declared Himself to be on par with, or equal to, or the same as the great I Am. Only they didn't believe Him. So therefore, they didn't follow Him. You know, but that was 2,000 years ago. They're gone. But guess who's still here? The great I Am. Jesus is still there. He's still declaring the same thing to us. Before Abraham was, I am. So the question is, how will you respond? Will you believe Him, trust Him, and therefore follow Him? Based on the promise of His presence? What else do you need besides the presence of the great I Am to go and be His disciple? That's what God's called us to. That's what Jesus has called us to. It's what the great I Am has called us to. Is to follow Him in faith and trust to do what He tells us to do simply because He's promised He'll be with us. Brothers and sisters, I know of no greater assurance to go and do what He's called me to do than to have the assurance that He's with me. So brothers and sisters, let us go in faith and trust that He indeed is with us, the great I Am. And therefore, let us follow wherever He's calling us to, whatever He calls us to do, whatever He calls us to say. Let us trust, just like Moses ended up doing. Just like Moses, sometimes it takes a little extra coaxing from a God full of grace, right? But let us trust the great I Am and that His presence is all we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are indeed the great I Am. You are all we need. You never change. You never are depleted of any part of who You are. You're always great. You're always mighty. You're always worthy of our worship. God, if this is who You are, and You really are with us, what more could we need? Help us to truly trust that. Truly, truly trust that You with us is all that we need. And may we then go in obedience and faith. All for the glory of Your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray.